Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house this morning, in which we celebrate Pentecost, the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ, as we also are mindful that today is a Memorial Day Sunday, as we commemorate those who gave their very lives and service in the defense of our country. We'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the registration pad, and if you would, please pass it along to your neighbors. And in your bulletin, be mindful of the announcement page that lists a number of the activities taking place in the fellowship of our church. Please note that the children will be embarking upon what is called the Me and My Bible Summer Challenge, as many of our children and youth received the new Bibles during the program we had last Sunday. And of course, the dates for Vacation Bible School are also listed there in the bulletin. Church office will be closed tomorrow for the Memorial Day holiday, and the all-church picnic for our congregation will take place next Sunday, the 4th of June, 4 o'clock. Hot dogs, buns, and drinks will be provided, but your potluck dishes will certainly be appreciated. Elders, also be mindful that there is an elders meeting on Wednesday, the 7th of June at 6 in the upper room. Final pictures for the new directory are going to be taken the next two Sundays, June the 4th and June the 11th, immediately after both services. So we've got a number of people we still need pictures from, and we sure would like to acquire those from you so that we can get that directory completed. We certainly always appreciate your generosity with the food pantry, and the announcement page also lifts up what is needed presently. And of course, we are collecting various clothing items for the Clay County Clothes Closet, as the article in your bulletin will also describe. And as I've been mentioning, Dorenda Hoke has made prints available for that picture of Jesus that adorns the foyer. If you're interested in acquiring one of those prints, they are available in the church offices. Please talk to Carol when she's at the office. Our May board meeting will take place immediately after the 11 o'clock service in the upper room classroom. I think these are all the announcements we need to lift up, and we are delighted that Danielle is here serving in Ryan's place this morning. Danielle, we welcome you to start us with our call to worship. Thank you, Danielle.
Please stand as you are able. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light.
They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them.
You have given them great joy, Lord. You have made them happy.
They rejoice in what you have done.
Please join me in singing our opening hymn, number 622. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, all stanzas.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. May we pray. Holy God, we are privileged to offer you praise and worship this Lord's Day morning, as we also celebrate the birth of the church this Pentecost Sunday. We also acknowledge the sacrifice of 1,300,000 who lost their lives in the military service of our nation. May we always appreciate the privilege we enjoy to worship you as we choose, without fear of reprisal, as we lift up praise to your holy name. It's in Christ's name that we offer this prayer, as indeed we seek your guidance and worship. Amen.
As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors. May we have our children come forward for the children's message with Kathy.
How we doing? We good? You like my little crown? Yeah? Yeah? Pretty awesome, huh? It's my birthday crown. Do you know why I have a birthday crown on? Because today is Pentecost. That's a pretty big word, huh? Pentecost. Do you know what Pentecost means? It means the day that we celebrate the birth of the church. It's not a person's birthday, it's the church's birthday. Yes, come and sit down. Have a seat, my darling. Good job. So, we celebrate the birth of the church. It's the day when the Holy Spirit came down and lots and lots and lots of people believed in Jesus and were baptized. And the church started. And do you know what? We're going to learn a whole lot more about that when we go downstairs. So, that's why I have a birthday crown. Because it's a birthday. It's the church's birthday. Should we have a little prayer? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you do for us each and every day. Thank you for being living in our hearts. Thank you for sending the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit to live in our hearts, to help be our guide, our counselor, to help be with us always. We ask that each and every day we listen to the Holy Spirit within our hearts as it helps lead us in the right things to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we quietly go downstairs?
Thank you, Kathy. In our prayers this week, I certainly want to lift up to you that the memorial service for Catherine O'Neill will be this coming Saturday, the 3rd of June. Visitation will be at 11 o'clock. The service itself will be here in the sanctuary at 12 noon. We want to lift up Shirley Keel in our prayers, as Shirley was in the hospital this last week, but she is now at Linden Woods. Gene Lundy was also in the hospital, but he is now home, and we're grateful for that. We also lift up Evelyn Prusner. She was in the hospital for a very brief stay, but also presently home. We lift up continually Leighton Walls as he's continuing to deal with recovery from the hematomas in the brain. He's making progress, steady progress, but please keep Leighton and Diana in your prayers. We also lift up Tom Taylor and Jerry Treese, as both of them are still recovering from those knee surgeries they had a few days back. And Jerry and Betty Donahue, we keep both of you in our prayers all the time, Jerry. And Philip Woods, Linda, we keep Philip in our prayers every week in the midst of his recovery and hope that all is still making good progress. And Psalm, we also keep in prayer your son, Johnny, as he continues to be in rehabilitation there at the Rehabilitation Center in Denver. Bless you, Psalm. And Perla, we keep in our prayers your niece, Michelle Vales, and certainly other members of your family as well. So with these folks and many others upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Merciful and holy God, it is with humble hearts that we bow before your presence on this Pentecost Sunday and also this Memorial Weekend. We celebrate your reassuring presence evidenced by the blessing of your Holy Spirit upon the early believers of the church on the day of Pentecost hundreds of years ago. As your believers today, we pray that we also will experience the empowerment of your Spirit at the time of our conversion and baptism, that we also will be conduits of your love and grace by the witness of our words and deeds. And as we are also in the remembrance of Memorial Day this Monday, we offer our gratitude for the more than 1,300,000 who have given the ultimate sacrifice of their lives for the freedoms we are privileged to enjoy each day. This Lord's Day, O God, we seek your blessing for those suffering the loss of loved ones. We pray for those dealing with illness, hardship, and personal challenges. As your Holy Spirit inspires and guides us, we pray that in thanksgiving, we will be inspired to give the best of ourselves for the betterment of our society and nation, as we are privileged to honor your name in worship this Pentecost Sunday and this Memorial Weekend. It is in Christ's name that we offer this prayer, as we also recite the prayer that our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On the 27th of August in 1776, George Washington addressed his soldiers before the Battle of Long Island, the first major battle after America declared independence from Great Britain. To his troops, General Washington said, "The time is now near at hand which must probably determine whether Americans are to be freemen or slaves. The fate of unborn millions will now depend under God on the courage and conduct of this army. Our cruel and unrelenting enemy leaves us only the choice of brave resistance or the most abject submission. We have therefore to resolve to conquer or die." Certainly on this Memorial Day Sunday, we are among the untold millions who are now afforded the freedoms made possible by the sacrifice of those who died in the Revolutionary War and beyond. And as we gather at the Lord's table, the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, that by the death of Christ, we are now put right with God, and we are transformed from being God's enemies into being his friends through the death of his Son. And today, we are among the untold millions blessed with the gift of life eternal by Christ's great sacrifice. In thanksgiving, thus, we prepare our hearts to receive the bread and cup of the Lord's table as we sing all stanzas of our communion hymn, Fairest Lord Jesus, it's hymn number 97. As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Ed leads us in a word of prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, show us your presence in this communion as we break the bread and drink the cup, remembering that this is the body and blood of your Son, shed for the salvation of our sins. By the power of your Holy Spirit, unite us with Christ and all who share this feast and gave us the courage to be your people, to show your justice, grace, compassion, and love, and to be part of your transformation of our world until the day our Lord comes again. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. Every Sunday, we are always grateful for your tithes for the ongoing ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ, but today we also express our gratitude for your offerings, for the Pentecost offering, which indeed is used to help establish new churches in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Mike leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings.
Father, may these gifts bring truly represent our gratitude, our love, and our devotion to your cause. We pray in the name of who gave his life for us, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Stand. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture text I share with you this morning, this is from Acts, the second chapter. The Pentecost event, the majority of it had already taken place as we get to these verses, which begin with verse 37 through 39. The spectacular has already taken place. And yet afterward, here in verse 37, it says, when the people heard this, they were deeply troubled, the text says, or we could say they were filled with awe, and said to Peter and the other apostles, what must we do? And Peter said to them, each one of you must turn away from one's sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven and you'll receive God's gift, the Holy Spirit. For God's promise was made to you and your children and to all who are far away, all whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Peter made his appeal to them, and with many other words, he urged them, saying, save yourselves from the punishment that is coming on this wicked people. And our key verse for today, verse 41, many of them believed his message and were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to the group that day. May we offer a word of prayer. Merciful and loving God, as we are privileged to worship you this Pentecost Sunday, may we be so inspired by the events of the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ on that first Pentecost that we too are compelled to dedicate our lives in service to your kingdom here on earth. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. On that first Pentecost celebration, 10 days after Christ's ascension into heaven, this 41st verse of Acts chapter 2 says that many of the pilgrims assembled there believed Simon Peter's message, and they were baptized. It says about 3,000 people were added to the fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ that very day. That's an amazing number of people to be compelled to want to turn their lives toward Jesus Christ. So we must ask ourselves this morning, what was it that compelled so many to be willing to convert from their Jewish faith to Christianity? We remember that many of these people were Jewish people who had made that pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the festival that was called the Feast of Weeks. It celebrated the ending of the grain harvest, but also it celebrated the giving of God's law through Moses. Now, you remember when we had that series of messages about the Hebraic meaning behind various numbers in the Bible, that the number 50 equates with a single word, freedom. And again, penta is what? Penta, like pentagon, five sides. We have Pentecost is simply a meaning of 50. But 50 means freedom. God chose to convey the law to the Hebrew people through Moses on Mount Sinai exactly 50 days after their departure from Egypt. For it was through the obedience of the people to God's law that these former slaves would become a free people as they were forged into this new nation of Israel. And for our purposes, for you and for me, the symbolic message behind the numeric value of 50 is that our freedom on Pentecost is what? That with the blessing of the Holy Spirit, we are freed from sin. We are freed from the bondage of even death itself as we welcome Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and are also indeed baptized into the fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ. For Paul declares even to you and me in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, freedom is what we have. Christ has set us free, so stand then as free people. When we are freed from many of the vices that captivate the lives of people, even in our own day and time, that gives us the energy, it gives us the vitality, it gives us the joy to, as being freed in Christ, to be a living witness by everything we do and say. But back to the original question for today, what was it that happened on that Pentecost day that convinced 3,000 people to believe that Jesus was indeed the one that they needed to follow? Well, looking back in further into this text of Acts chapter 2, we go back to the second verse, and many of you are familiar with what took place. Beginning with verse 2, suddenly there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house Now, that word alone has a lot of people saying, well, no, they were in a house, some sort of residence. No, you can't put 3,000 people in a residence, certainly not in biblical times in Jerusalem. Weren't too many houses that would have accommodated 1,000 people. And if there was one around, it probably belonged to somebody in the Roman Empire, right? They were in charge. We have to paint the picture as to what was going on here. I've shared this with you before, but for those who've not heard how the context lays out, what we must understand is that at the outer walls of the temple grounds, there were a series of steps that went up into the main outer portion of the temple. Huge staircase made of stonework. And at the base, there are also these large pools, kind of like, think in terms of a swimming pool, but one that only has a depth of about, say, 2 feet. Now, when pilgrims, the Jewish pilgrims, would come to Jerusalem, they preferred to go into Old Jerusalem for starters, because that was the city of David. And as they would make their way up, there's kind of an incline on that side. But as they came up, here they were greeted by these massive staircases and, of course, these pools below at the ground level. What they would do, the Jewish pilgrims would take their outer garments off, they would wade into this water and they'd throw it over the top of themselves, and first of all, it probably was refreshing. Imagine the dust. Phew. Oh, it was miserable. Just have anything. You know, it's kind of like when you're really hot and you've been mowing the yard and everything, you just take a garden hose and just go, you know. And surely you've done that before, not just me, right? Make sure you let the hose run for a while to get the hot water out first, right? You know what I mean. But just imagine being able to walk in there and just throw this water on top of you. This was an actual ritual of cleansing, but also certainly would have been very refreshing for you. Then they would come up out of the water, put their outer garments back on, and they would start up these staircases. These stairs were not of the same height and depth. They were of varied heights and depths for a good reason. When a child approaches a staircase, what's the first thing they want to do? What? I know we don't do it anymore. We don't have the energy. But what does a child want to do? Run up it, right? One church I served, we had staircases that the building was old enough that the staircases were actually open. You know, you don't build buildings that way anymore because, you know, too many liability issues. These staircases were open. 5 stories. So when you were at the top and looking down, you were really looking down. But one child was there early on a Sunday morning, and I heard him upstairs, and he came rumbling down that staircase, and then as he got down to the landing where I was, he jumped about 4 steps and just went like that onto the floor, and he looked up at me, and he said, "This place is like Hogwarts." Children love to run up the stairs. But you can't do that with these steps. Different heights, different depth. What the pilgrims would do is they would start up and they would go up a certain distance, stop, pray, be in a time of meditation. Then they go up a little bit more, stop, pray, time of meditation. They do that over a course of time before they made it to the entry gates to even enter the temple. But what also happened on these stairs is that rabbis had the habit of going up so many steps, turning around, sitting on the step, and then their followers would gather on the steps below them, and therefore the rabbi could begin to just talk. And the benefit of that is that if you're up higher and you got a solid rock-type surface like this, your voice would echo well. And so whatever was being spoken and spoken downward would be more easily heard, probably even help those folks like me that always have the hearing aid problem. And you know, we have so much trouble hearing anyway, right? So just imagine how much of a benefit that was for these folks. So that's what was taking place here. The apostles were likely on these steps, visiting, talking with the people. And the crowd's beginning to gather, and they're listening to what's being spoken about the Christian faith. And then verse 2 says, suddenly there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house. In other words, the whole temple grounds here, if you will. And then they saw what looked like tongues of flame which spread out and touched each person there. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. What we see here is that there's the presence of a strong wind, a presence of tongues of flame, and when somebody was speaking, say like in Spanish, even though you only knew English, you'd be able to understand what was being said. And what's being lifted up here is that all of this was to express the idea that this new faith of Christianity is available to everyone, regardless of where you're from and whatever language you speak. But what we have to understand is that with the presence of this wind and the fire, these Jewish people immediately understood that, oh my gosh, this is the presence of God among us. Many biblical references to the notion that God is in the wind. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And he rode on the cherub and flew, and he appeared on the wings of the wind. In Psalm 104, verse 3, he lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He walks upon the wings of the wind. And of course, many texts talk about God being in the fire. God's appearance before Moses in Exodus chapter 3. The Lord appeared to Moses in a blazing fire in the midst of the bush, remember? But yet the bush was not consumed. It was the essence of God right there before Moses. And we know also that as Moses was up on the mountaintop and receiving the law, from below, the people could look up at Mount Sinai, and the text says, now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. So you see what was happening here with the wind and the flame was these people were beginning to truly realize that God's presence was among them. But isn't it noteworthy to realize how many times God has had the desire to be present with humanity? Time and time again. We know that when the people were in the wilderness and the covenant box had been built and it became like a holy place of God's presence, what was above the Ark of the Covenant? A pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. The presence of God was there among them. But the most supreme presence and essence of God truly is what? That Jesus Christ came into the world, became one of us, flesh and bone like you and me, that we may know God in a most intimate and wondrous way. This we must celebrate. And so, for you and me, we realize, yeah, we haven't seen any flames on top of our heads. We haven't seen any rushing wind. We haven't even seen Jesus in the flesh. We'd love to, but we haven't. But what we today have is the faith to believe that all of these stories are indeed true, and that Jesus reassured us that as we make our confessions of faith and as we are baptized, we too receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit, and therefore we experience the essence of God's presence in and among us day by day by day. You know, have you ever wondered why, through all these centuries since the time of Jesus, we haven't had anything tangible to say, there's God? Well, I think there's one simple reason why not. That's because if we had it, we'd venerate it. We'd make some big production about it. Just like, you know, the supposed place of Jesus' birth, we build a big building on top of it and fill it up with gold, and then we charge people to go see it. Right? That's, if we had something tangible, that's what we'd do. No. God, His essence is in the blessing of the Holy Spirit, which took place at Pentecost and takes place as we make our confessions of faith and are baptized. We have the essence of God's presence within us, because in that way, God is saying that it is the things of the spiritual realm that are of greater, far more significant and lasting importance, lasting even unto eternal life. You see? We don't need tongues of flame. We don't need rushing winds. We don't even need a physical presence of Christ. He already came here, been there, done that. What we need is to believe. So I ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 337, Jesus Calls Us Over the Tumult. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 5, number 337, please.
Jesus calls us to the tumult of our lives, wild, restless sea. Day by day, His sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me.
Jesus calls.
Danielle, we want to thank you for your assistance today in taking Ryan's place. And Danielle's father, Dan, is also here today. We're so grateful you joined us for the second service. Thank you so much. We wish you all the very best as you journey forward into this Memorial Holiday weekend. A reminder again, board meeting immediately after the service in the upper room classroom. May we pray. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to feel your very presence through the blessing of your Spirit. For this truth we give thanks as we journey forward with this new week in our endeavors to be Christ-like in what we do and say. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.